Well, good afternoon. My name is J.B. Pritzker, and it is so good to be back here in Peoria this afternoon. I have spent an awful lot of time here during this campaign, and in fact, it was about a year ago, almost a year ago today, that I was here with many of you on the day after President Trump was inaugurated, that racist, xenophobic, homophobic president of ours. And I was here to march with you, to resist, and I haven't stopped. And on this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, I stand here to renew my commitment to that fight and to the values of Dr. Martin Luther King. Before I begin, I want to take the moment to thank the many organizations that put this together today. I know how hard it was to get it together in a fairly short notice, and I specifically want to thank State Representative Jahan Gordon Booth, and she deserves it. I am grateful for your leadership in Springfield on behalf of children, on behalf of civil rights, on behalf of criminal justice reform. Thank you. Now, the topic of today's forum is justice. Fighting for justice is what I was taught to do by my parents when I was growing up, and it's an important part of my faith. In Deuteronomy, God says, "Justice, justice shall you pursue." Justice. And so I have tried to pursue justice. I've worked hard to pursue economic and social justice and for criminal justice reform. It's one reason that I endowed the Center on Wrongful Convictions, the center that fights for those who have been convicted unjustly. And it's why I work to expand school breakfasts all across the state of Illinois for 230,000 kids under a program that helps low-income kids get fed in the morning so they can have a good school day ahead. And it's why I was asked by President Obama to organize his White House summit on early childhood. Today, I want to talk about both criminal justice reform and economic justice. But to be clear, the two go hand in hand. First, it's time to imagine and build a system of justice that recognizes the inherent strengths in our communities and that protects the values upon which they rely. So I introduced a criminal justice reform plan to do just that. My plan begins with sentencing reform. Wherever possible, our courts should focus on rehabilitation rather than incarceration. Our goal should be sentences that match the offenses and that deter crimes. Mandatory minimums for nonviolent crimes haven't worked. And it's time to bring an end to excessive sentencing. Here's an example. Criminalization of marijuana hasn't made our communities safer, and instead has disproportionately impacted black and brown communities. And when I'm governor, we're going to legalize marijuana, and we're going to make sure that African-American entrepreneurs are intentionally included in the planning and the licensing of new marijuana dispensaries and production facilities. New jobs and businesses will be created in the communities that have experienced the most injustice from the war on drugs. Furthermore, I intend to lead the fight to abolish the monetary bail system. It's time to bring an end to a system that penalizes low-income people, and time to put in place a system that is fair to all of our communities. The second area of my plan is around recidivism. When half of the people released from prison end up back there within 3 years, we know something is terribly, terribly wrong with the system. We need to do better. Rehabilitation has to start earlier. That means skills development and education. It means mental health services and substance abuse treatment in the community. And for goodness sakes, let's allow those who have served their time to get jobs. If we truly want reentry to be successful, people need to come back to a place that still feels like home, but with more opportunities than when they left. The third area of my plan addresses juvenile justice. In Illinois, we spend $172,000 for each young person that's incarcerated, $172,000. And yet, early intervention can cost less than a fifth of that. We're losing too many kids to a life in the system before they even have a chance, and that has to end. As governor, I'll work to expand diversion programs that address mental health, substance abuse, and trauma. The state will also partner with our communities to encourage restorative justice as an alternative to prosecution and incarceration. The fourth area of my plan is this. We must address gun violence in our communities. We've seen innocent lives lost, families destroyed, and communities ripped apart. The time to act is now. That starts with addressing the violence for what it is, a public health epidemic. So how do we address an epidemic? We interrupt it. We reduce the risk. And we build safer and healthier communities. As governor, I'm going to prioritize community programs like Ceasefire that interrupt violence at the local level. We need to reduce gun violence with universal background checks, gun dealer licensing, and a ban on assault weapons, high-capacity magazines, and bump stocks. And to stop the flow of illegal guns, I will create a consortium of states intended to stop gun trafficking across state lines. Finally, restoring trust between law enforcement and the community that they're sworn to protect is incredibly vital to reducing crime. As governor, I will work to increase transparency and accountability in law enforcement, including training where officers learn to de-escalate situations and to reduce the use of force. Now, let's stand up for the police when they do it right, right? But let's hold them accountable when they violate our constitutional rights. Those are the four main points of my criminal justice reform plan, and now is the time to enact them. But we all know that crime doesn't get to epidemic proportions if we can address the root causes. We have to recognize that a historic, systemic racism in the system has kept neighborhoods from attracting businesses and capital. We've seen symptoms of it right here in Peoria, just recently with the two Krogers closing in predominantly African-American neighborhoods. Something is terribly wrong when our beloved Peoria is named one of the hardest places to live if you're African-American. Terribly, terribly wrong. Dr. King said, "We are now faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. In this unfolding conundrum of life and history, there is such a thing as being too late." And he said, "There is no time, this is no time for apathy or complacency. This is a time for vigorous and positive action." The fierce urgency of now. With systemic disinvestment in communities across the state, with Black communities still shut out of basic access to jobs and housing and health care and education, with opportunities so often reserved for the too few, the fierce urgency of now is upon us. Now, Dr. King said. Now. So, it's time that we brought not just jobs into the community, but wealth and prosperity. I've proposed a plan to do just that, to bring access to capital into the neighborhoods that need it most, so people right here can start and build businesses, to invest in infrastructure while ensuring that all of our communities get access to those new jobs, to diversify government procurement so that contractors who do business with the state start to look like the communities that they're working in. When should we do this? Now. Now is the time we demand children in every community get a quality education that they deserve. Zip code, skin color, income should never determine whether or not a child has a real chance to succeed. I say stop failing our kids and start funding our schools. Now is the time to lift up our community organizations and social service agencies that strengthen the communities they serve. Unlike Bruce Rauner, I'll fight every day to bring economic opportunity to every corner of this state. I'll make it my mission to create jobs, to build educational opportunities for our children, and to expand health care coverage and bring hope back to our state. Dr. King taught us to fight for justice, and I promise you, as your governor, I intend to live up to his ideals. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us, Mr. Pritzker. What I'd like to, you weren't here for the introduction, but I talked about some of the issues that we're facing here in Illinois and approaching these issues with a solutions-oriented perspective. You did touch on the issue that 24/7 Wall Street, which is the organization that has rated states around the country, and unfortunately over the last 3 years, Peoria has ended up on that list three times in the last 3 years, last year being number one, this year being number two. But in the previous years, any number of cities in Illinois have unfortunately been on that list. One of the things that I see as an impediment to seeing African-American communities having the ability to grow and flourish is that oftentimes in government spaces as it relates to procurement, which is what you brought up earlier, you oftentimes see procurement with African-Americans in single digits. The state of Illinois is doing less than 1% business with African Americans. What I'd like to know is, from your perspective, if you are elected as governor, how will you, number one, change that? But knowing from working in this in the system of government, a lot of those decisions are not made by a strong governor, but they are made by the individuals who they empower and put in positions, not just at the director level, but also at that deputy director level, which oftentimes serves as a gatekeeper. So let me wrap that up for you. I want to know, one, will you make it a priority to increase procurement to at least match the percentage of the population that we are, one, and then two, what will be your priority in your administration to ensuring that the individuals that are running your agencies that will essentially run the state reflect the state of Illinois, and will that cabinet be diverse?
Thank you very much for the question. And let me begin by saying that we do have in state government goals that they're supposed to hit for procurement among contractors of color. They haven't hit them ever. There's an old adage that you may have heard that says, what doesn't get measured doesn't get done. It's not getting measured. And in fact, governors don't live up to it because they can get away with it because no one is measuring. No one is holding it up to the light of day. So the first problem we've got to have is transparency. The second, of course, is accountability. Now, very importantly, when you don't appoint people of color to positions of power in the agencies that are actually doing substantial procurement, then you don't get the procurement that we should get for African American, Latino, and other contractors of color. And that's why you've got to go to, like, the Department of Transportation, for example, where there is enormous amounts of procurement, where when you have a capital bill and when we invest in infrastructure, you've got to make sure that the jobs that get created as a result of that investment are going to people in the communities where those infrastructure projects are being built and from the communities that are the most forgotten around the state of Illinois. I will tell you this. In my term as governor, if I become your governor, there will be no higher calling than to lift up the most forgotten communities in this state. If we want economic development in this state, we must lift up those communities. We have to make sure that we're measuring the difference between the highest income communities in our state and the lowest, and trying to narrow that and make sure that people are getting real opportunity around the state that have never been thought of before. Now, of course, I can point to Peoria and talk about neighborhoods here that need economic development. I want to point out an area of the state that you may not have been to, and that's Little Egypt. It's the southeastern portion of the state, where there used to be 25,000 coal mining jobs. And as we've all focused on improving the environment, the coal mining jobs have reduced from 25,000, which over many, many generations, by the way, were creating middle-class lifestyles for families in that area. Now, from 25,000 to 2,500 jobs. But nobody in the state is doing anything about it. No one is focusing on lifting those families up. No one is focusing on lifting families up here in Peoria that have been left out, or on the south and west sides of Chicago, or in the poorest neighborhoods all around the state. I intend to do that. I put out a plan to do that. And if you elect me governor, we'll succeed at lifting up those communities.
Good afternoon, JB.
Good afternoon.
My name is Rita Ali. I am a local educator within the higher education system, and also president of the King Holiday Committee of Peoria. My question relates to our complex issues of poverty, especially as it relates to the Illinois welfare system. The Illinois welfare system is broken. It does not discourage people to get in higher education, and that's the main reason why people rely on welfare, because they lack education. It does not support people in any way, very little ways in terms of support and in terms of them going to college or getting additional training to leave the welfare system. Mm-hmm. So how would you as governor begin to reform this broken welfare system that we have?
Thank you very much. And I want to start by saying that we want people to avoid ending up in welfare. And that's why we've got to go create jobs. You know that Illinois is in the bottom third of states now for job creation under Bruce Rauner. The complete failure to create jobs, to focus on stability in the state and lifting up families that need help, working families that need help, that's what we're left with today. So let's start with creating economic opportunity will be the best antidote. But for people who are on welfare and who are attempting to get out of welfare, to lift themselves up, I have often said that education is the number one thing that we can do. But when Bruce Rauner cut when he cut the child care assistance program, 90%, and State Representative Jahan Gordon Booth fought hard against that. When he cut it by 90%, he put people out of jobs. Remember, people were eligible who were making $20,000 and $30,000 and $45,000 a year to have community child care. But when he cut it, it went down to $8,000. So if you had a $20,000 a year job, you had to quit your job. If you had a $30,000 a year, I put out a plan to increase the child care assistance program, not just to $45,000 where it used to be, but on a sliding scale to $60,000, so that people can access it, because so many people can't access child care today. It eats up so much of their income. That child care assistance program is critical. And if you lose your job, you end up on welfare. If, on the other hand, you're on welfare and you want to go get the education that's required, the training that's required to go get a job, you can't access it if you don't have that program. That's why that's a critical component. Now, investing in that program is just the beginning. Creating jobs, investing in childcare, those are two pieces of the puzzle. Education more broadly, training people, particularly in high school. So many of the kids who are coming out of high school are not skilled to get a job that makes any sense, or there are no jobs available. We have an $8.25 minimum wage in this state. We need to have a $15 minimum wage, and it isn't enough. We used to call that a living wage. It isn't a living wage anymore. So you got to create jobs. You got to create competition for labor to make sure that people can get jobs that pay $25 and $35 and $45 an hour. But listen, the number one way we're going to get that done is not necessarily the investment in universities and community colleges, which I intend to make significant investments in, but to make sure that we put back in our high schools vocational training. It has been too many years since we let that leave our high schools. And so kids who graduate who choose not to go to college, because there are kids who do choose not to go to college, they have to have an opportunity to get a skilled labor job so they can get a wage that makes sense for them so they can support families. So these are the things that we've got to work on. And it sounds like a piecemeal patchwork of things, but it's a comprehensive endeavor to deal with poverty in the state. You know that I've spent more than 20 years fighting for early childhood education, for universal preschool and quality childcare all over the country and here in Peoria and across the state of Illinois. There's a critical reason for that. It's because if they don't start out right, right? If they don't get the education that lands them, these kids, lands them with the ability in kindergarten to get a good education, they're going to have a hard time throughout their educational process. We've got to put that back. That's part of this effort to improve our education system overall so that people can get decent jobs and stay off of welfare. Thank you. Let me say this. I know I have a couple minutes to close. I want to say a couple of important things. I am running for governor because everything we care about is under siege by that racist in Washington and his local partner, Bruce Rauner. I have spent a lifetime standing up for social and economic justice in issues that I think will make a big difference and have made a big difference across the state. The 230,000 kids getting school breakfast, kids who otherwise wouldn't get breakfast at all. Thousands of kids who get quality preschool and quality childcare because of the work that I've done for more than 20 years. The 60,000 kids who attend a museum that I helped to build that teaches them to fight bigotry and hatred and intolerance. And the thousands of teachers that go and learn those lessons and take it back to their classrooms each year. And I ran the Illinois Human Rights Commission, which is the state's civil rights court, and it was in terrible shape under the Republicans. And when I took it over, I worked with Republicans and Democrats to change it, to improve it, to make sure that people got justice more surely and more swiftly. Now, I believe that the experience of getting big things done, of carrying out those basic progressive values, that the experience of doing that is what you need in the next governor of the state of Illinois, because we've got some big challenges in this state. We have to provide a quality education for every child, no matter what their zip code. And to get that done, you're going to need somebody who thinks big, somebody who can actually get a progressive income tax passed to make sure that we are providing an education for those kids. And expanding health care. It's easy to say, someone wants to say, single payer for the state of Illinois. It's hard to actually get it done. So I put a real program out to expand health care across the state of Illinois called Illinois Cares. It's President Obama's public option that got left out of the ACA years ago. We're going to bring it back, and we're going to bring it back right in his home state. Education, health care, and jobs. That is the fundamental basis of this campaign. I have experience in all of those areas. I hope to bring that experience to Springfield, to put Springfield back on the side of working families. I'm so pleased and proud to have the endorsements of Senator Dick Durbin and Senator Tammy Duckworth, to have the AFL-CIO and 30 individual labor unions on my side in this race. And I ask you, all of you, to join our grassroots movement to take this state back from Bruce Rauner, from the Koch brothers' right-wing network, and put us on a path to a progressive state that we all deserve. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me here.